A small native California tribe that is struggling for federal recognition gets a place in the national spotlight in the very near future. The Winnemem-Wintu tribe will be included in the public TV documentary series Standing on Sacred Ground, premiering this week. The series focuses on indigenous people and the environmental issues they face. In the Winnemem-Wintu's case, that's the possible raising of the Shasta Dam, which would increase the size and height of Shasta Lake, and flood areas considered sacred to the tribe. Two guests join us. Colleen Sisk is the chief of the Winnemem-Wintu. Colleen, thanks for joining us again on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
And Christopher Toby McLeod is with us as well, the producer of Standing on Sacred Ground. Toby, thank you for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Colleen, let's start with you and tell us about the ongoing issues that exist with getting federal recognition for the Winnemem-Wintu and why there seem to be obstacles there.
I suppose that people need to understand, you know, what federal recognition is.
Okay.
And what it isn't. you know, the tribal people have existed here way before, you know, the five civilized tribes or the Wild Indians or the Hostile Indians or the Hanging Around the Fort Indians. Now it's the Casino Indians or the Recognized Tribe or the Unrecognized. But the bottom line is that if you're in the category of unrecognized, there is no definition of that, only that you don't exist. You don't exist for any of the rights that every other tribe has the opportunity to practice their religion, to you know, have those things that assist the tribe to continue to be the distinctive people they are. So they invented a recognition process where the traditional tribal peoples can apply to be the traditional tribal peoples that everybody knows that they are. And in our case, you know, that happened in the 1980s, where they created this list of tribes that they would recognize, and then everybody else that's not on that list falls into this black hole of we can't see you, but you can apply. And so some tribes have applied, and they've been applying for about 36 years, and very few have achieved that recognition through that application process. And so far as I know, none in California have achieved recognition through the federal recognition process of the BIA. And so it's sort of that thing that you can never get, but that thing that they tell everybody, well, if they are a tribe, they should apply.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that in itself is pretty disrespectful, discriminatory, to say the least. You know, and we are a tribe who practices our traditional ways, and so that means that we really don't have the right to do that because in the government's eyes, we're not a tribe, therefore we cannot use the American Indian Religious Freedoms Act or any other act that protects tribes' way of life.
So I'm trying to understand, have you applied for recognition?
We have not applied because the leader before me said, why would we apply? We are already recognized. They have our land. They made these deals. They made this treaty. They had an act of Congress in 1941 that took our land for Shasta Lake. Why would we be applying? They know who we are. And if we did apply, who are we applying to? Do they know about the Winnemem? Are they the judges of Winnemem? Will they know how Winnemem we are if we apply? And so we haven't applied because she said we're not applying to buy a house or buy a car or buy something. And what if they tell you no? What if you apply and they say, nope, you're not the Winnemem? Then what? Then who are you? Hmm. There are five tribes in California right now that are on the denial and have been told no by the government that they're not a tribe. So they're appealing that denial. And then what if they lose? What are they then?
All right, so the Winnemem choose not to go through that process.
Right, and we've saved ourselves 36 years of headache.
Mm-hmm. Would you have greater standing though to make moves for standing in court, for example, if you wanted to sue to stop the raising of Shasta Dam, should it even get officially proposed? It's still under review, I understand.
Yeah, well, there is some issues with recognition and some powers that they give you. You know that you do have standing. And that there is some supportive services for the taking of our land and the benefits to continue to be tribes. However, we also look at what happened to those tribes that became federally recognized and their protection of the sacred site or their protection of their right to practice their religion. And it seems that has disappeared to some level that, you know, it lost its value somewhere along the line. And I'm not sure if that's in the recognition process itself, or once you become recognized that something takes place in re-educating you, or something happens. And so it is a wonder if we were recognized, would we still be fighting for our sacred sites? Because other tribes, you know, are not.
Mm-hmm. Kelleen, stand by for a second. I want to bring Christopher into the discussion. Toby McLeod, Christopher Toby McLeod, the producer of Standing on Sacred Ground. Toby, I understand your coverage on film of Indigenous peoples' issues with the environment or with their stories involving environmental issues goes back quite a while now.
Yeah, that's an understatement. back in the early 90s, I got interested in the intersection of environmental struggles with Native peoples' land rights struggles. And the core issue for Indigenous people, including Kalleen and her great-aunt Florence Jones, the former leader of the Winnemem, were really most concerned about the protection of sacred places that are the anchor of their land and territories. And I first made a film that included Kalleen and Florence when they were fighting to protect Mount Shasta from a variety of threats, including a proposed new ski resort high up on the mountain that would have devastated a sacred spring of the Winnemem up there. And as I worked with them to make a film called In the Light of Reverence, my real goal was to show that these struggles are international, that Indigenous people around the world, though they are each unique with a unique language and set of values, and, you know, some live in the mountains and some live in deserts, that they have value systems that are incredibly common in terms of responsibility and obligation to take care of places that go back generations, and these kinds of spiritual connections to not individual sacred places, but networks of sites like Kalleen has that go up the McLeod River that would be flooded by the dam raise through Children's Rock and Puberty Rock and the Sucker Pool all the way up to the spring on Mount Shasta, these networks of sacred places. So we made a film series called Standing on Sacred Ground that shows how common this kind of struggle is. And by showing Kalleen's story linked to the Altaians in the middle of Siberia in Russia, we show how common and similar the plight and battles for land rights are that different Indigenous people around the world have. And our goal there is to both to show the commonality of values, but also to give strength to these different struggles because they're all up against the same kinds of threats like government dams and pipelines and New Age appropriation of ceremony and so forth. So that's the purpose of the film series, and it took a long time. It took somewhere between 8 and 20 years, depending on when you start counting.
Uh-huh. So you ended up with 4 2-hour chapters, essentially?
It's a four-part series. Each is 1 hour long.
1 hour, okay.
And in the first film, Kalleen's people, the Winnemem Wintu, are with the Altaians. It's called Pilgrims and Tourists. And I think KIXE World has it running on Sunday night at 10 o'clock.
In Reading, okay.
And 6 o'clock in Reading. I'm not quite sure about up in up there.
We cover four TV markets. So I'm going to have to track that down, yes.
Yes, but we're on a PBS sub-channel called the World Channel, Sunday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. So we have on our website, Standing on Sacred Ground, We have a broadcast schedule that helps people find their area and the time of broadcast. But PBS is a sort of a system of many stations, so we're on at all different times all over the place.
Right, right. We're talking to Toby McLeod, the producer of the Standing on Sacred Ground series coming to PBS, and Colleen Sisk, who is the chief of the Winamem Wintu tribe. You can join our discussion on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email is jx@jeffnet.org. Colleen, what are the simple issues that arise? And of course, they're you know, we can call them simple, but the fact is they're packed with emotion and significance that come about if the Shasta Dam does go up 18 feet.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of issues with the Shasta Dam, but a lot of people, you know, believe that that is the answer to California's drought. However, you know, we feel different about that, including that, you know, people don't realize that the sediments under the lake is building up, and that's a toxic waste area that needs to be addressed. Rather than lifting it 18 and a half feet, maybe they should dredge out that sludge from the bottom and clean that up first. But our sites are the puberty ceremony, you know, as Vasos Chona, which is a very important girl ceremony that brings her across as a woman back to the tribe. That area is threatened already, you know, already it's underwater. Some of the year. And with the additional rays, we're not sure that it will ever come out again. But the way that California is using water senselessly in some ways, I think that Shasta Dam and most of the reservoirs are being used like a cash account rather than a storage. And so, you know, just like it is now, it's really drawn down. Mm-hmm. But for us, it is still a threat. It would be the second time that we have been harmed by this Shasta Dam, and that there has been no justice so far. The taking of our land during the 1940s, it turned out that they just took our land, and we became the poorest of the poor, and we became a tribe who was dependent on salmon, to a tribe who had absolutely no salmon at all and no access to our river or a place to live.
We have a call.
So this would be the second run of our, like an attack on our culture.
Right, second time around. We have a call for you. Let's go to Julie in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Colleen Sisk of the Winamem Wintu and Toby McLeod, producer of Standing on Sacred Ground. Julie, go ahead. Julie in Ashland.
I'm sorry, I was on mute. Here I am. Thank you. This is so important. I just was remembering a cliche way back that was about a white man speaking with forked tongue. And that was one of the wisdoms that we learned from the Native Americans, if we want to remember it. Since we are the white man, I think the white man is learning how much we are spoken to with forked tongue. And that means split agenda, hidden intentions. And I agree with you when you were talking about your elders, your father advising you not to go into the application process or appeal process, because if you lose, it's designed by the laws that are made to have you basically admit that you're not what you're trying to say you are. And that's one of the shenanigans that white man does, is they make laws that are actually a camouflage for their own purposes. And in this case, and for a long time, for their very futuristic thinking about stealing water from the natural environments and peoples of those environments. So, and like you said, it's a cash endeavor now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to mention that some people may have forgotten that several years ago, and it took about a year or a year and a half, the Shasta Dam or the Shasta Lake was nearly fully emptied because they were doing some sort of engineering work, like either reinforcement of the bridge or I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
They did rebuild the bridge, but It hasn't recovered yet from that depletion of the water supply. It has not filled up again yet. And so, you know, that's a cause of some of the drought now, because we don't have what we usually have there. And so this drought thing is temporary, and yet they're trying to make permanent changes for their own pocketbooks and their own agenda to steal the water. And I'm sorry I went so long. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. We get a response now from Kelly. And Kelly, you want to talk about that?
Well, the issues of the drought, you know, has to do with the Twin Tunnels. It has to do with the return of the salmon, and it has to do with the Trinity River. And the purpose of that is, like, that I see, is that, you know, California, we should be a salmon state. We have the capacity to grow the most salmon, the biggest salmon, the best salmon, feed the world. We should be doing that and not using up all of our water, 80% of our water, on GMO farming in the desert. But right now, you know, that's where the capitalistic movement is in that farmer for the world, or feed the, you know, farmers feed the world kind of idea. But at the same time, the drought is not going away. The water depletion is not going to go away. By the governor cutting every town by 25% usage doesn't really bring up that other 80% that's being used, you know. And like villages like ours, or places like us, where we only use a very little bit of water. You know, we don't have no swimming pools, we don't have no lawns, we don't have no laundromat. Hardly anybody washes their car. Most of the water is like drinking or bathing or cooking. And so if they were to say, well, you have to cut your water usage 25% as well, you know, we couldn't hardly do that, because we have no extras. We're not doing any farming, or, you know, we're not going to retire a field or a big garden or that kind of a ranch, you know, where we could cut back something. There's no cutting it. But big farmers, the big corporations, you know, there's a $10,000 fee or something, a fine if you go over. You know, they're going to pay that readily. That's nothing to the money that they're going to make. But for people like us, that is a lot of money. We can't afford to pay $10,000 for not being able to cut 25%.
Toby McLeod, what was the decision-making process in the Standing on Sacred Ground TV series that led you to pair the Winnemem-Wintu with the people in Siberia that you talked about?
Well, the fact that both tribes of people are up against the, you know, sort of the big bear, you know, the mega project of the superpowers. And so we start in Russia, where Putin had not gone sort of insane yet when we were filming there, but they want to build a natural gas pipeline through a sacred burial area called the Ukhok Plateau to China. And so the Altaians are up against a distant federal government that has put them in boarding schools and killed their shamans. And then we felt that if the film series is going to appeal to an American audience, we also needed to have a powerful American story. And since I'd been working with Kellyn for 20 years and they're fighting this crazy proposal to raise the height of Shasta Dam, we have this, you know, the similar story in the United States, which makes the series accessible, you know, and kind of honors the history of all American Indian tribes, which are similar to what Kellyn and her folks have been up against. So that was the logic. We go on from there in the next hour to look at mining and extraction. We go to Papua New Guinea, where the Chinese are mining nickel and forcibly relocating people and dumping the waste in the ocean. And then we go to the tar sands, which is sort of like people have described it as Mordor, where the oil industry has been going at the land for 30 years.
I saw the previews online. It truly looks like hell in places.
It is. It's cancer and you know, fish deformities and government in bed with industry. And we go on from there, and in the end, we come around to indigenous protected areas where indigenous people have regained their land rights, have come to some legal in Australia power to protect sacred places. There's actually fines if people destroy sacred places. In Hawaii, the final story is the success of Native Hawaiians winning back the island of Kaho'olawe, which was bombed by the U.S. Navy for 50 years. So there you have a large group of people physically and spiritually restoring a sacred island that was bombed. So they're dealing with the remaining ordnance that's still in the water and land, but they've cleared much of the island. They bring young people there for cultural immersion and language teaching and ceremony. So it's the film series ends on an upper, and it's a vision that we have for Kowloon and the Winnemem, which is that they would get the McLeod River watershed back to take care of it the way they used to and be able to be free to do their ceremonies there. And hopefully one day we'll see Shasta Dam quite a bit lower and not higher. Because, you know, that water, it all goes to corporate agriculture and new developments in the South, possibly fracking if they raise the dam. It rarely will fill up, and conservation and renewables can fill that need very easily and more cheaply.
Kowloon, we're almost out of time. Are you hopeful there'll be a good resolution to this?
You can always be hopeful. And I hope that, you know, the Congress people will actually really take a look at, you know, the situation that the Winnemem are facing and help us to come up with a good solution, you know, somehow. At the same time, really looking at the water projects in California and readjusting the need and the drawdown. Because, you know, I know that even if we were recognized, the recognized tribes had a horrible time trying to protect the San Francisco Peaks.
All right. The series is called Standing on Sacred Ground. It features the Winnemem Wind 2, from which Kowloon Sisk is the chief. Toby McLeod's the producer. Check your local PBS listings. Thank you both for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.